Good morning.
It's especially good to be here with you this morning, no longer as a candidate, but as a member, and just am thankful for your warm welcome of myself and our family. We feel very blessed to be here and are just thankful to be able to be a part of what we know the Lord is going to continue to do through Salem Bible Church. I wasn't planning on saying this, but it just really struck me afresh this morning. Jerry, thank you for those great songs that you selected for this morning. But one of them, Out of a Mighty Fortress, is Our God. He says here, the man of God's own choosing. And we would ask, who may that be? And what's the answer? Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, it is He. So we remember that Christ Jesus is ultimately the foundation of the church and everything that we do. And as I share this morning from a pastor's heart, I just want to remember fresh how dependent I am upon the Lord and how much He continues to be my foundation and our foundation as a congregation. So that just stood out to me. So thank you, Jerry, for choosing that hymn. As I said, I'd like to just, today it's a message, of course, and I'm going to have several scriptures that I look at, but it's a little bit different of a message. I haven't picked one particular text to work through more systematically, as I often do, but I just have a number of thoughts on my heart and my mind as we begin this journey together. And so I've just titled the message, From the Pastor's Heart. And I just want to share a number of things that I've been thinking and praying about with you as we begin together as pastor and congregation. And I just want to begin by saying that I need to certainly say some thank yous. And the first thank you goes out to the pastoral search committee. Both the search committee in the past and the current search committee who have invested just so much time and energy into this process and into this search over the years. It's taken a long time, which is often what happens, and I actually had the privilege of serving on a pastoral search committee myself in the past, and after a two-year interim process, the pastoral search committee met for another 18 months. So it can often take time, and I know that it is a large commitment. And so I just want to say, on behalf of the congregation and myself, thank you so much to those who have served on the pastoral search committee and have just invested all that time and energy. And a thought that came to my mind, and Brian sort of mentioned some of this, but a thought that came to my mind in terms of, well, why does it have to take so long, right? Why does it have to take so long? And I couldn't help but think of Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or has been His counselor? This doxology that Paul gives at the end of this very difficult treatise, and he says, you know, God's ways are unsearchable. And I certainly think of that. As I think of my own life and all the little steps that the Lord has led me on, to be at this place. And as you think of your life and Salem Bible Church and all the little steps that it's taken in order for this to happen, who knows the mind of God? Him alone. And so we trust all things to Him. And of course, looking back on it, we can understand perhaps some of the ways that God certainly was working in and through us in the midst of the search process and can see that good has come from it. But can we just take a moment just to just show our appreciation to those that have served on the search committees and just thank them for their time. Certainly very appreciated. And the other thank you I want to mention today is also a thank you to the church board, because I know that in the midst of bringing on a new pastor, there was some extra times of discernment that were needed, and it caused extra investment on your part in terms of prayer and thinking. And as well, for a small handful, there was extra load of paperwork that comes with a hiring process and all the things the government needs to hire someone these days and all that. So it's a lot of extra work on for a couple of individuals that were involved in all that. And so my thanks just goes out to the church board just for the time and energy that you've invested in this process and this prayer, and I'm thankful for that. And a passage that just comes to mind was Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So thank you for your time and investment in the people and the congregation of Salem. And let's just take a moment and thank the church board as well for your time and energy. And one last thank you that I have to make, and that is certainly that as I stand before you today, I recognize that this is not the beginning. This is a new chapter, but many chapters have already been written. And I stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before me, to say the least. And certainly the glory and the honor all goes to the Lord. And certainly we recognize Jesus Christ as the foundation. And yet we have to remember the faithfulness of Pastor John Winterstein and his wife Linda as they have served here for so many decades. To just have served for one decade as a pastor in this day and age is considered to be something and considered to be significant. But to have served for 4 decades and all the care and pastoral ministry that you poured out, your faithfulness to the teaching of God's word is just truly a testament to the Lord. And as a congregation, we are just, and I now stepping into the foundation that you've laid, am just so thankful for your work and for your dedication to the Lord. And I just want to take a moment to allow us as a congregation just to honor and thank you both, John and Linda, just for all the time and energy that you have invested. It truly is something, and we're just thankful that the Lord has been with you all these years to help guide and support you in that. So I ask the congregation to stand, and can we just give a thank you to them. You may be seated. As I say, it's emotional for me too, because I recognize just the time and energy that has gone in, and the role that I'm stepping into. I don't want to take it lightly. I recognize the responsibility that's there. And the first thought that comes to my mind as I think about all this is that God uses imperfect people. There's many things I don't know. There's some things I do know. And one thing I'm positive about is that God uses imperfect people, because I stand before you certainly not perfect in any sense. And I think back on my life and I think, wow, you know, in my years of pastoring, in my years of teaching, I sure have learned a lot. And I recognize that I still have a lot to learn. And 10, 20 years from now, I'll look back and say, wow, I sure have learned a lot. And the reality is I'll be learning those things alongside of you and with you. And so just ask for your grace and patience as I try my best to be sensitive to the Lord and to handle his word rightly, recognizing that, you know, I am not infallible. God's word is, but I am not. And so I may make mistakes along the way. I may have spelling errors in my PowerPoint sometimes. There may even be one today, but don't worry. You don't have to tell me about those, because Holly will make sure to tell me that. So, but I also don't want to, how should you say, set up any sort of false humility either. As Brian said, my desire and my intention is certainly 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is certainly my desire and something to strive for. Paul wrote this to a young pastor, Timothy, as an encouragement to him, and I receive it for myself as well. And so I just was thinking about this, and I thought, the thought came to my mind, and also in Timothy, he talks about the importance of the family. And he essentially says, if you can't lead your family in a good way, what business do you have trying to lead the family of God, right? If your family's a spiritual mess, why should you be in front of a congregation or shepherding a congregation? You need to have, if you can't lead your family, you can't lead the family of the Lord. And so this is something that puts forth. And certainly we invest a lot into our family. And we try to, Holly and I try to work very hard to have a home which, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, right? But that's hard to do in this day and age. It's especially hard to do in the culture and in the midst of a increasingly post-Christian society to have a home that honors and serves the Lord. And so we try to make intentional efforts to read the Bible with our children and to allow God's Word to continue to permeate our ideas and our motives and just to allow this to be foundational in our family. And one of the things that we've done the last several years is that we will do an Advent devotions with our children. So leading up until Christmas, it's some 30 days of devotions. And you can get these on Focus on the Family's website. There's a whole host of them over the years that they've done, but they always put out a new one every year. And it usually involves some scripture reading, some activity for the family, prayer and some song is essentially what it is. And so we've been working through those Advent devotions. And occasionally, in leading our family and in trying to allow God's Word to be present in our family, we'll see some of the fruits of that. We'll see some of the fruits of what we're doing there. And Chloe, my oldest daughter, and I asked her if I was allowed to share this, and she said I was. She's actually excited about it. But Chloe, my oldest daughter, she was downstairs playing store, okay? You know, you make believe that you're selling things at the make-believe store and that. And it was time to clean up or whatnot, so she closed up shop, I guess. And later on that night, I came down and I found this sign that she had put on the door of the store, which I have here, but I'll also put it up on the screen so that you can see it a little bit better. But in case you are having trouble reading it, nobody prompted this. This was all on her own. It just came down and found it. It said, "Closed, celebrating the true meaning of Christmas." And then there was this little sticky note here, which was actually the sticky notes I used to mark my Bible for sermons, which she had found. And you pull it, and there's the baby Jesus in the manger. So that was a very good job, Chloe. And it just blessed my heart because I thought, well, at least materialism isn't winning the day. You know, the Advent devotions are sleeping in, are sinking into some ways, and we see some of the fruits of time spent in the Word of God in the lives of our children. And that's my prayer for Salem Bible Church as well, that as we are faithful to God's Word, and as we spend time in it, and as we continue to be discipled by it, and to be led by it, that we too will see the fruits of faithfulness to the Word and faithfulness to the Lord here at our congregation. And I couldn't help but think of Isaiah 55:11. "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's word never returns to us empty, and we believe that as we're faithful to the Word, it will have effect and impact. Well, there's no getting away from the fact that tonight is New Year's Eve, right? And New Year's Eve is often a time when we think of new beginnings, yes? Now, oftentimes folks will think of, as it were, New Year's resolutions, right? You make a resolution. And if you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't really make the New Year's resolutions, I don't do that anymore, you're in the minority. Because according to some website, which may be completely unsubstantiated, they said that 87% of folks this year were planning to make some sort of New Year's resolution. So it's not too late, I guess, and maybe you're thinking of it. But what are the sorts of things that people are going to be making resolutions about? Well, somebody actually has gone to the time, YouGov.com or something, has gone to the time to actually assess what people are going to be making New Year's resolutions about. And I have that information, too, off of a website, which, like I say, I can't say how legitimate it is. But this is what folks are going to be making New Year's resolutions about this year. And they were allowed to mark more than one thing. That's why you're like, this does not add up to 100%, because they were allowed to mark more than one response. But eating better, exercising more, and spending less money came out at the top for the 2018 New Year's resolutions. Getting more sleep, reading more books, learning a new skill, and getting a new job came in next. And then the lower tier of resolutions that folks are thinking about making for 2018 is to make new friends, a new hobby, focus more on appearance, focus on a relationship, cut down on cigarettes and alcohol, or go on more dates, focus less on appearance. So, physical health is certainly very important, and I think God calls us to take care of our physical health and to be aware of it. But of course, oftentimes New Year's resolutions focus on the physical, right? But I think as believers, it's a fine time as any to also think about our spiritual health. And what are some things that maybe we need to do with our spiritual health? And as in New Year's resolutions, when it comes to making them, you're usually thinking about the things that are maybe in your life that need to be out of your life, or the things that are, so to say, dragging you down physically, and how you can change them and what resolution you can make. And as believers, it's a fine time to think about our spiritual health and to ask ourselves, you know, is there something that, you know, the Spirit is laying on my heart or convicting me about that I should think more about? And it's a new beginning of sorts in 2018 to think of that. And I just thought of a couple passages here. 1 Peter 2, 1-3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Boy, you know, that complacency for the things of God can be dangerous and can so easily sneak into our lives. And we want to crave, we want to desire the things of the Lord. And so is there a place for me this year to think about how can I afresh crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word that comes from the Lord? And sometimes folks will think about things like reading the Bible in a year, and there's a one-year Bible out there, and there's all these Bible reading plans, and that's a good thing to do. I mean, it would be great if we could read the Bible in 10 years, but there can also be a danger in that for some, reading the Bible in a year may be too much. It may just be too fast. And so I think the Lord would have us to be faithful in reading some a day and just meditating and thinking on that scripture. Of course, if you're able to read it 10 times, then awesome. But we should think about perhaps what is it that we can do to crave that pure spiritual milk afresh. Sometimes folks will do devotions, or one interesting thing that I've done in the past is as I read through the Bible, I think about just sort of looking for a particular thing. For example, all the times in Scripture where God gives encouragement, okay, or all the times in Scripture where God makes a command or something like that. And so as I read through, I'm looking for this particular thing. And that can be a very interesting way to study afresh through God's Word, just with a particular eye of focus on a certain theme or idea. So there's still time to think about this afternoon and this evening what maybe in terms of spiritual health, God may be calling us to do to crave and desire after Him. And James, of course, says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows, so to care for those that are less fortunate in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And we understand that there's much in the world that can bring pollution into our lives. Just like physically, there's much that we can do that can cause us to be unhealthy. There's things that we can be involved in that can cause pollution from the world in our spiritual lives. And so, you know, that's just something to think about too. Is there an area where God is, maybe it's not a bad thing necessarily, or there's nothing wrong with it, but nevertheless, it's something that the Lord's laying on your heart to take a break from. And it's something to think about. But new beginnings, right? New beginnings with 2018. But I'm also thinking about new beginnings for Salem Bible Church. New beginnings for Salem Bible Church. And of course, this year is in some ways significant because we are entering into a new relationship together and as pastor and congregation. And I imagine that there is excitement about that. I've sensed that myself, and I've sensed that from many of you. There's excitement about what the Lord will do and what the Lord will continue to do. But I know that there's also some fear as well. What will Salem Bible Church look like under a new pastor? What new directions will the Lord guide us in as a congregation? These are things to be excited about, but they may also be the sorts of things that cause us to be a little bit fearful as well. And as I think about the future and what the Lord has for us, I can't help but think about the Israelites. When they were taken into exile into Babylon. Now certainly our situation is not the same, right? We are not under judgment and we're not, we're not going into exile here. But for the Israelites, it was a new beginning, right? It was a big change. Over a conquest of what was probably three different conquests, the people were of Jerusalem, it was destroyed, and the people, the Israelites, were systematically removed and taken into exile. And in Jeremiah, he gives a word to them, and it's to be a word of encouragement in the midst of a new beginning. And we know that not everyone who was exiled was unfaithful. Of course, think of Daniel, right? Extremely faithful to the Lord. And so for some, they had been being faithful to God, and yet they were caught up in everything that was going on, and they were in exile, and it was a new beginning for them. And what was the word from Jeremiah? Settle down. Get married. Have children. Plant vineyards. Plant orchards. You know, make the most of it. And it really culminates with this passage that I know we're all very familiar with. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now this is a promise that's directly made to the nation of Israel in that context. But we can still see some of the character of the God that we serve in it. God is a God who has a hope and a future for His faithful ones. For His people. Plans to prosper them and not to harm them. And we can also think about similar passages in the New Testament, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. As I think about these passages together, I want to say that I believe that our congregation does have a hope and a future because our God is working for our good. And I want to say that again. I believe that our congregation does have a hope and a future because our God is working for our good. He's at work. He stands behind us. He's our foundation. And He will be with us in this new chapter as He has been with us in previous chapters. However, just as the Israelites, nevertheless, in light of this promise, they still face challenges, right? It was a difficult change for them, without a doubt. And we're going to face challenges too, because our desire, right, is to see the Word of God go out into our community and to see the Lord at work and to see a new generation of people here in our congregation being discipled and led in faithfulness, right? And yet we live in a culture where the generations that are coming up are very close to the things of God on whole. They're not often receptive and open to the gospel message. But we also know that God is able. And we also know that the power that is within us is greater than the power that's within the world. And there was a time when it was just those that had surrounded Christ, just a small group of people. And they were going out into an entire society where there was no church. But God stood behind them, and what happened? He moved and he worked. The gospel message went out and people heard it. They received it and they came. And they came to know the Lord and they came to be discipled in them. And they too went out and continued the work of the Lord. Now I understand we believe the Bible and we have Christ as the foundation. And we stand on the grace of God. All these things we know and understand. But the question still remains this morning. Where do we begin? Where do we begin as a new pastor and a congregation together? How does this next chapter begin to unfold? And I wanted to just do a little bit this morning to just at least help you sense some of my vision moving forward. Not in any kind of deep sense, but just in a very superficial, immediate sense, what I see happening in the next couple months. And where my emphasis will be. And three things have come to mind. I mean, probably the Lord has laid maybe a number of things on my mind. Actually, I can't sleep at night, but thinking about things. Last night I just couldn't hardly sleep. I mean, I did sleep. I eventually fell asleep, but it kind of felt like, you know, as a child on Christmas morning where you couldn't sleep. I mean, I was just restless. I was excited to be here with you. But I've whittled down to three things that I want to share with you in terms of where do we begin and how are we moving forward. And the first thing that is definitely right on the forefront of my mind is I want to know you better. I want to know you better. And I'm sure you'd like to get to know myself and our family better as well. And we've had some very meaningful interactions together here and there, shaking hands and exchanging pleasantries, maybe briefly here in the foyer and downstairs and all that. But of course, the desire is to have a relationship which will go deeper than that, one which we'll build over the years, which will become meaningful to both of us. And so we want to begin our ministry here by getting to know one another better. And so in the next 3 to 4 months, my hope is that whether it's at our place or your place or out at breakfast at a restaurant or something like that, that I'll be able to connect with you and on a personal level and just hear your story and just be able to understand a little bit better your journey and how you feel the Lord has gifted you and what your desires are for our congregation moving forward. So that's really where it begins. Where do we begin? Well, we begin by getting to know one another better and by beginning to build that relationship with one another. And that's where my heart is to start. Now, this is a tangential thing. That's a big word. Do you know what I mean? Off to the side, not really part of my message, but I wanted to say it here. So a relationship begins by knowing a person's name, which I would hope that I would know some of your names, and I feel like I am getting to know many of your names, but I don't know if I know everyone's name perfectly. And even if I wanted to call some of you up and you know, ask if we could have you over, if you could meet me for breakfast, I'm not sure if I even have your phone number. So so in light of this, and this is your fair warning, I guess, next week and the following weeks, until I feel like it's complete, I'm gonna be setting up a tripod with some sort of little bed sheet or something. I don't know what we're gonna do there, but some sort of background. And I'll be bringing in our camera, and I would love to just take a current picture of you and your spouse or you and your family together, and just have this that I can compile for myself, kind of a current pictorial directory of our congregation, as well as your current email and your current phone number, and just so that I can know that I know who you are and be able to reach you and all that. And we'll be happy to duplicate these. I mean, I don't know what sort of quality it's going to be, though with all the technologies that are out there, it could probably be fairly decent quality. And you know, Brother Nick had given me a directory, but when was that from? 1990 or something? 1996. So we want something a little more recent there. And but all of you look just as good as you did there. That's not what I'm saying. I just... but... So next week that'll be out there, and if you want to make this like a family picture for yourself, you know, the camera takes fairly good photos, and we'd be more than happy to email that out to you, and then you have a nice current family photo, so you can do that as well. And just letting you know that that's something that I'm hoping to be able to do here. But we want to get to know you better, and so that's the first thing. The second thing that's on my heart is that we need to ask some honest questions. We need to ask some honest questions. So, for example, one of the questions that comes to my mind is, when the Lord begins to bring a new generation of believers to our church, are we prepared as a congregation to effectively disciple them? Say that again. When the Lord begins to bring a new generation of believers to our church, are we prepared as a congregation to effectively disciple them? And what if the Lord blesses us with some teenagers? 14, 15, 16. Of course, they have their needs. They have their issues that they're dealing with, you know, in their life. And what is our plan, right? So we want to see, you know, folks coming, and we want to see them in here. But we need to make sure that when the Lord sends them, that we're ready to effectively reach out and care for them. So there's a couple other questions, too. And over the next year, you know, and being sensitive to the Spirit's leading, I'll be just leading us and thinking about and considering some of these questions and just trusting that in our discussion and talking together that God will direct and guide us and just move us along in the directions that He wills. And the third thing, lastly, that I have on my heart here is that I'm asking myself, what is our role as a congregation in reaching our community for Christ? What is our role in reaching our community for Christ? Now, of course, we know that God is the one who does the work of the calling and such and so forth, but we also know that we have a gospel responsibility, too, to be proclaiming the good news. And we think of the passage in Romans where it says, where he concludes this idea of how beautiful are the feet of those who bring forth the good news, right? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring forth the good news. Now, we cannot do everything as a congregation. We cannot do everything as a congregation. But I believe that there may be some unique ways that God is going to be calling Salem Bible Church to reach out with the good news in the coming chapter. And so we want to think about what those ways are, how God has uniquely gifted us as a congregation and positioned us to be able to go forth with the good news of the gospel message into the community. And what is the community? Well, certainly we're in Bougainville here, but that is not just the community. We have folks, as I understand it, from Ephrata. Well, now I'm from Ephrata, so I know that's true. No, I know. I know I talked to somebody else, at least, that's from Ephrata, who lives a little farther out than I do, the other side of Ephrata, actually. And I know we have folks from New Holland, folks from Willow Valley. I'm not sure where everyone lives, but that's a pretty wide radius, right? And so I think it's a really neat thing. God has positioned this church not in any one specific community, but right between the communities. I mean, if you look on the map, this Bougainville is right on the dividing line of New Holland and Ephrata. Just a little bit this way, and it would have an Ephrata address in terms of where the lines are. So God has uniquely positioned us here where we can have a great impact. If we are all driving to church, then the folks around us would drive to church too, right? And so we have a great radius that we can have an impact on. And really, our community is the Lancaster County community in many senses. And so the question is, what is our unique role as Salem Bible Church in reaching the Lancaster County community for Christ? And that's something that that we want to think on. In conclusion, I just want to say again that I am excited to be here with you and to be partnering with you and to see, to be a part of seeing how God is going to continue to work in this new chapter and in this time together. I just want to say that just ask for your grace, especially the first couple weeks as I begin to orient myself and just learn what's going on. And please feel free when you leave to take a peek in the back door there, the room that we're turning into office, and you'll see one of the challenges of being a pastor and making a pastoral move, at least for me. There's just full of boxes of books. So, so I'll be working to establish an effective office on site here at our church in the next coming weeks, as well as beginning the process of reaching out to you and finding times when we can meet together. And in the next coming weeks, I'm going to be preparing at least a general tentative schedule of all the sermon series that I'll plan to do for the rest of the year. And normally I would have this done by the beginning of the year, but since I guess I don't technically start till tomorrow, it hasn't happened yet. and I haven't had time to with my teaching load. But I will be putting that together over the coming weeks. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be doing a mini-series on the teachings and parables of Christ. And so we'll be in a couple of the different Gospels looking at some of the teachings and parables of Christ for the next 3 weeks. And then our family has had a trip planned for over a year now, a larger family trip. And so very unfortunately, it runs Sunday to Sunday, and we're excited to go. But we are going to be out 2 Sundays, the very end of January and the beginning of February. And so, we wanted to get started, and we were just excited to begin the work. So we will miss you for those 2 weeks. But when I return in February, I will be providing for you the series that we'll be starting then, probably the more substantial series, as well as a plan moving forward for what I like to do in the future. And so that's a little bit there. But like I say, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. And really thankful for your warm reception of us. We need your help. I see myself as a brother among equals, and understand that it's by the grace of God that I shepherd and come alongside of you, and will endeavor by the grace of God to be faithful in this role. So thank you for all your support and encouragement in this process and along the way. And I just invite you to turn with me in prayer at this time. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for Salem Bible Church and for bringing us together, Lord. And I pray that over the coming weeks and months that you would continue to bring unity to us, and just that you would help us to grow in deeper relationship with one another and a deeper relationship, most importantly, with you, Jesus. And we pray that you would lead the way, Lord, that you would be the foundation, that you would be the leader of this church, that you would guide and direct us to understand what we're to do in this next chapter of our church life and how we're to participate in your work and in what areas we're to learn and grow. Lord, we look to you for all those leadings and all those things, Lord. Lord, we thank you for guiding and directing us and always being there for us in our needs and in our personal lives, Lord. And we are excited, Lord, to see what you will do. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be with us. Lord, I pray especially for our protection. As a congregation, we know that there are principalities and powers which seek to oppose, and yet we understand, Lord, that you are greater than all those things. But Lord, we ask for your spiritual protection to be upon us, your guidance to be with us. We thank you for the gift of your grace in our lives every moment. In your name we pray these things. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.